Welcome to our service for the third Sunday of Lent. Our first hymn is to the great Welsh tune Ebenezer. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshana and named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help, for he said, thus far the Lord has helped us. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free.
With your spirit.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
Lord, have mercy.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
Christ, have mercy.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Lord, have mercy.
For the words we have said that were not from you,
We ask your forgiveness, Lord.
For the things we have done which were not done in love,
We ask your forgiveness, Lord.
For the things we have not done which love would have done,
We ask your forgiveness, Lord.
For the thoughts we have had that have not come from you,
We ask your forgiveness, Lord.
For the times when we have loved ourselves and turned our back on you,
We ask your forgiveness, Lord. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
It was remarkable to hear, on St. David's Day, BBC Wales finish its early evening news with a piano version of the lovely hymn Gwahoddiad. It's our second hymn today, very suitable for the expression of our penitence in this Lenten season. Lord, here I am, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
As our Saviour taught us, we boldly pray. En tad, yr hynoet yn y nefoedd, sancte ddia dy enw, deled y dernas, gwnele dy wychlys, megis yn y nef, bychlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn nina ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canu sydd o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoliant, and I say, Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Collect for the Third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, Exodus 20:1-17. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honour your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. This is the word of the Lord.
New Testament reading is from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." They said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, when you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were to ask people to come up with one passage that summarised the message of the Old Testament, it would probably be the passage we heard Jane read earlier, the Ten Commandments. If we are asked to summarise the message of the New Testament, I suppose many of us might come up with the parable of the Good Samaritan. In this kind of shorthand, the Old Testament shows us a demanding and restrictive God who is prone to anger and wrath, whilst the New Testament shows us a God who is merciful and kind. We should know, though, that this caricature of the Bible is very much oversimplified. The Old Testament also gives us Psalm 23, for example. God is a loving shepherd who is our rod and staff of support all the way through life to the valley of the shadow of death and beyond. Whilst the New Testament contains Jesus' stern teaching about the sheep and the goats, and in our reading today, his anger in the cleansing of the temple. So perhaps we should look a little more deeply in each case. First, then, the Ten Commandments. Perhaps because they begin, "Thou shalt not," we tend to exaggerate how negative they are, and indeed how demanding they are. Compare, for example, the simple commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," with the New Testament obligation for marriage. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Each of you should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. You can do something similar with many of the commandments. Yes, it's important to say, "Thou shalt not steal." But better yet, as Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labour and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. It's important, too, that thou shalt not bear false witness. But better yet, as Paul goes on in the next verse, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And so on. The morality of the New Testament is just as demanding, if not more demanding, than that of the Old. What Jesus does with all the law and commandments is to make clear that they are given to us by a God who loves us precisely because he loves us, and that if we follow them, we will together live happier, better, and more fulfilled lives. This does not mean, though, that God is not angry, that he is not a God of wrath. Our second reading is perhaps the passage from the New Testament where we see Jesus most obviously angry. Back when Jane was a manager for the local authority, she had cause to complain about how she was treated by those in authority above her. It was unconscionable behaviour, for which they did have to apologise. We wrote the letter of complaint together. After the apology had been duly given, one of Jane's superiors wrote to her again and said that she did not appreciate the letter's tone. I wanted to write back and say that the tone of the letter was one of righteous anger, and if she was still confused by it, we could write to her further to explain what righteousness was. Jane, having received her apology, decided not to bother with further response. I expect she was right. She usually is. It says here, righteousness is what differentiates the wrath of God from the anger of man. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, says the Epistle of James. In the Old King James Version, somehow, the wrath of God always works better in the AV. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's not to say, of course, that we should never be angry. Be angry, writes Paul, who was, God knows, pretty often angry himself. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. I wonder what makes you angry. Thinking about it, I think I'm most often likely to be angry when I'm disappointed, when I think that someone should have known better, should have done better or spoken better. And quite often, it'll be myself I'm angry with in that way. For Jesus, it seems to be, above all, the Jewish religious authorities of his day, who he feels could and should do better than they do. Here in the temple, it is the exploitation of the people that incurs his wrath. Elsewhere in the New Testament, it's the self-righteousness of the religious, how they think of themselves as above or better than other people. For Jesus, I think, they were those who should have known better. Are you a teacher of Israel, he says to Nicodemus, and yet you do not understand these things? Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, writes James again, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So indeed we will. We are those who should know better. At one level, then, the cleansing of the temple is easy to understand. Jesus expresses the righteous anger of God at the way religion is being used not to comfort, but to exploit the people. But then the passage takes us in a more mysterious, even mystical direction. The Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years. Will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. We've spoken several times recently of how real the image of the body of Christ was in the imagination of their first Christians. It became their favourite metaphor for understanding who they were. They were the body of Christ. When they suffered, they understood their suffering in terms of the pain which the body of Jesus had suffered on the cross. But they also considered themselves to be a new temple. This temple at Jerusalem, which the Jews thought of as the dwelling place of God, had been being built for 46 years, but would be destroyed within another 40 years in 70 AD, as the Romans crushed the latest Judean revolt against their power. The date of John's Gospel is uncertain, but most scholars would put it later than that date. For the Christians, the church was not only therefore the new body of Christ, but also the new temple, the place where God, by his Spirit, was now pleased specially to dwell. Christ was all in all to them. His body was both the sacrifice which God had chosen and the temple where that sacrifice had been offered. On the cross, he had taken the righteous wrath of God upon himself. In the resurrection of his body, a new life was made possible for everyone who turned to him. They were the body of Christ, the new temple, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. "He himself bore our sins," writes Peter, "in his own body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." Amen.
Dwelling where the song of praise.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper and only stay a day than live the life of a sinner and have to stay away. For the Lord is shining as the sun, and the Lord, he's like a shield, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk his way. They are singing for joy to the living God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
On this, the third Sunday in Lent, we pray. Almighty and ever-loving God, you are more ready to hear us and forgive us than we are to come to you. Forgive us for the times we have sinned and failed you. Strengthen us as we seek to serve you, that we may follow you in the ways of peace and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. O Christ, Son of God, for our sake you fasted 40 days and allowed yourself to be tempted. Protect us so that we may not be led astray by any temptation. Since man does not live by bread alone, nourish our souls with the heavenly food of your word. Through your mercy, one God, now and for ever. Amen. All around us we see the very real signs of spring, daffodils and snowdrops in the garden, birds looking to nest in the hedges. Creator God, forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share, and may our feet tread lightly on the road that we travel together. Show us, dear Lord, how to protect your creation, not just the plants and animals, but the soil, the air and the water by which we live, so that no one may exploit or pollute them for private profit or convenience. Help us to cherish these necessities for our survival and guide those in authority to ensure that limited resources are shared equitably between all nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all those whose lives have been impacted by COVID-19. We pray for those suffering from COVID and for the healthcare workers caring for them. Be with them, Lord. Take away their fear and anxiety and their feelings of isolation. And especially today, we pray for all the young families with school-age children who have spent the last 2 months doing their best to home educate their children, while also, in some cases, balancing the demands of younger siblings with working from home. Give them patience and tolerance and the appreciation of quality time spent with the family. And we pray for teachers as they prepare for schools to reopen in the coming weeks. Give them the courage and confidence to deal with all the challenges of teaching during a pandemic. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for decision makers. Father, we pray for all those who bear the responsibility for leading us in these difficult times. assist those making decisions that affect the lives and futures of our families, communities, countries, and the wider world. Grant them wisdom and clarity of thought. May truth and compassion be their touchstones as they set policies for our protection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are suffering from non-COVID-related illnesses and whose treatment may have been delayed because of the pandemic. Dear Father, bless all those known to us who are suffering from sickness or infirmity. Draw close to them, we pray. Heal both mind and body with your gentle touch. May they know deep in their hearts that you are never closer than in our darkest day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, bless all those who mourn the death of a relative or friend and feel that with this loss their lives are incomplete. Heal their brokenness with the soothing balm of your gentle touch, that they might know your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.
year ago last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo, where I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons, the number of quills a porcupine has got. So I asked him, "What's that creature there?" He answered, "It's a helk." I might have gone on thinking that was true, if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, "I ain't a helk, I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. The nicest work of nature in the zoo. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know who's who. I'm a gnu, spelled G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man or moose. So gnu, 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 I'm a gnu." Taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I travelled on to Ashton-under-Lyme. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my head, stuffed and mounted, was a face I thought I knew. A bison. An oak carpet. Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice. "I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. Another gnu. I wish I could ganache my teeth at you. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know who's who. I'm a gnu, spelled G-N-U. Call me bison or okapi and I'll sue. Nor am I in the least like that dreadful hearty beast. Oh, gano, 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 I'm a gano. Oh, gano, 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 I'm a gano.